stand. And then I want to skip ahead to where we'll be focusing on today in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Father, as we come to you before you in this time of service, in this time of teaching, Lord, I pray that you would move through me, that you would take any unholy, unwavering thing out of my mouth and replace it with what you seem and deem fit. Father, be with us in this service, Lord. Have your presence, have your way with it, and to you be all the glory. We all pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just out of curiosity, how many of us have worn a helmet in, let's say, the past year? Raise your hand. All right, we got a couple. How about in the past 10 years? All right, we got a few more. How about just like at some point in your life? All right, pretty much every single hand in the building's up. Amen. Whatever your reasoning for wearing that helmet may be, whether it was on the job site, on the game fields, or just a bike ride around town, we often place ourselves in situations where we want to be mindful of our heads. After all, what's inside our head, aka our brain, is kind of like the central computer system that makes all the rest of this function, right? So when we're doing something in life, whether it's exploring, playing, fighting, or so on, we are conditioned to protect our head because of how important and irreplaceable it is. We can lose a body part, we can lose a finger, we can lose an arm, and we can keep going. But if we take a shot to our head, we're done. Now, as I was preparing this message, I was suddenly reminded of this old picture that my mother used to keep around the house growing up. And warning, this is going to be a hot moment. That stands for humble, open, and transparent. Go ahead and throw that on the screen for me. Oh, yeah. Look at your boy. Circa 2001, 6 years old, feeling fine, fresh, and fierce. I don't even care what the lame elbow pads and knee pads. Razor scooters are fire, and nobody can tell me otherwise. If you had a Razor scooter, you were like it, right? Oh, man. But you see, any time that I was going to ride that scooter or I was going to ride my bike, all anyone would ever tell me is, be sure to wear your helmet. Make sure you put on your helmet. You want to be safe. And remember when your mom would yell out of the window and you just reply, come on, helmets are cool, I want to be cool. And she would just respond with the worst thing, the most disgusting thing that any child could ever hear. I want you to be safe. The audacity. Shout out to all the moms out there, because without y'all, this ship would be going down fast. So anyway, I digress. Every time I put that helmet on, I felt safe. But not because I had something happen to me, but because I had the knowledge of what could happen. And so I would walk in wisdom. Remember, wisdom means applied knowledge. And wore my helmet every time because it made me feel safer. And whether you're putting on that bike helmet, you're putting on that snowboarding helmet or that boxing helmet or that football helmet, you're putting on that hard hat or that ballistic helmet, we are able to do more because we feel the safety that the helmet brings. We are able to step out, work a little harder, fight a little harder, push ourselves a little bit more, knowing that something is there to protect us if we fall. See, when we talk about salvation, the helmet of salvation, salvation is something that protects us, that covers us, that gives us the reminder that we can walk safely. Now, when Paul states to take up the helmet of salvation, Paul's point is to stand firm in what Christ has already done, as opposed to standing firm in our own efforts yet to come. He tells us that victory in the visible world is directly tied to victory in the invisible world. And now he tells us that this key to victory is what we are told to wear on our heads, the helmet of salvation. But see, the helmet that Paul was referring to when God divinely inspired him to write this letter is a completely different type of helmet to what we've been imagining. These examples that have been making us think of helmets that we're accustomed to our favorite NFL team, the helmet that we used to wear during our high school sport, the helmet that we put on at our job, the helmet that we put on before we went into battle. But you see, Paul was envisioning a very different type of helmet. And as Paul moved from house arrest, constantly having run-ins with the Roman army, he became well acquainted with one helmet in particular, the helmet of the Roman legionaries. But not just any legionaries. See, these men were of the Praetorian Guard, the highly ranked Roman guards who were constantly assigned to keep the Roman praetor, or in other words, the Roman general, thank you, Adam, safe. If you knew how long it took me to get my hair this morning. They were distinctive. They were impressionable. They were noteworthy. When you saw the plumes of horsehair, animal fur, typically in red or in yellow and black, signaling the elevated rank. Like the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, these men were assigned, much like the Secret Service, to protect the Roman praetor and serve directly underneath him. Every detail, from the plumes, the ornate metalwork of the brass, the embellished lion's head on the front, every detail to emphasize whom you're dealing with, to show that the person wearing the helmet belongs to Rome. Y'all, the helmet of salvation is bold, it's beautiful, it's profound, and it's distinctive because it signifies that you belong to God. When we wear our salvation on our heads, we are signaling to those around us. We are signaling to the physical, to the spiritual. We're signaling to the, there's no way I'm getting that one right now. We're signaling to the angels, we're signaling to the demons, we're signaling to the world that we do not belong here. We are not the world's. This is not our home. We are natives to another world. We are natives to the kingdom of God. God claims us in this act of salvation. God says, you are mine. Like, did y'all know that the angels, every time that someone repents and comes to God, the angels throw a party in heaven? Yeah. Don't believe me? Look it up, Luke 15. You see, salvation is an invitation. God gives everyone an invitation to the greatest party, to the greatest gift that anyone has ever seen. By accepting this invitation to salvation, God claims us as his children. God claims us as his family. He bestows grace upon us that not one of us could achieve, purely out of a love that surpasses any love that we can comprehend. So we are told to cherish, to proclaim our salvation at eye level, at face value. I don't think they're getting it, PB. I'm going to bring it a little bit more. I'm coming with a little bit more energy. Not down here on my shirt or tucked away in your car radio. You don't find your salvation being stuffed in your Bible on your bedside drawer on that Bible app that you haven't opened in 17 days. That last one hurt me. We proclaim it at eye level. We wear it where people look first. So the first thing that they see is our salvation. Not in a pride sense either, not in an arrogant sense, but in a joyful boast in the Lord of a God's grace that takes an everyday son and daughter and elevates us to a position that we don't belong. We are to be seen with our salvation on our heads for all to see, to be the light of the world and to be the salt of the earth. But the design of this helmet has to do with much more than just being a beacon. You see, these side panels covering the face, protecting the cheeks, protecting the eyes, covering the eyes. designed to not only protect the face, but to keep your eyes on the battle. And you see, the Roman army's fighting technique was to line up in a Roman phalanx, where soldiers would be shoulder to shoulder with each other, moving ahead, step by step. The purpose was to protect each other. The protective face coverings help block your surroundings from view, where you were forced to focus just ahead on what is ahead of you. You didn't worry about what was going on to your left or to your right. You trusted in faith that your fellow soldiers were handling it and that they were there with you in the midst of the struggle. You see, when we take up the helmet of salvation, it forces us to focus on God, to not worry about what happens around us, to not waver to the left nor to the right, but allows us to have faith that whom is next to us that we can't control, or what is happening next to us that we can't control, will do as they do and will happen as it happens, but that ultimately it will all collectively work for the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, boys. We focus on our salvation because we can't control. We can't control our surroundings. We focus on God because he is the provider of our salvation. Amen?
Amen?
It's nothing that we do. Ephesians 2:8 states, "For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift," or is a gift from God. "Not from works, so that no one can boast." The only thing that we can do is boast on the Lord. My friends, we don't earn our salvation. Our salvation earns us. Like, we do his work because he did the work on the cross first. We love because he loved first. So when we take up our helmet of salvation, we gain a supernatural focus. We put our focus on God, on his will, on the works that he is calling all of us to do in his name. Now, a lot of you guys know that vocationally, I am an educator. I teach marine science, and I am also a sailing instructor. So for a large portion of the year, I am out on the water teaching sailing. And I'm fortunate and blessed enough to be able to teach a lot of the advanced sailing classes that we have. And so we use a lot of advanced boats. And one of those boats in particular is called a Wasp. Now, a Wasp is a really, really cool boat because when you sail a Wasp, when it gets up to speed, it actually lifts up out of the water. And it sails and foils on two little T's. And so you can imagine if you get all the drag out from the boat and you are able to sail along with minimal resistance, they go exceptionally fast. Now, as an instructor, it's sometimes, when they get up to speed, hard to keep up. So if you can envision, the Wasp is sailing along, and we are driving behind them in a powerboat chasing them. And what is happening is the person sailing the boat and the instructor is connected with a helmet. They both have helmets on, and they're connected through a walkie system. So when you're out there sailing, for example, the first time that I ever sailed this boat, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing whatsoever. But in my ear, I had my boss, who's a world-renowned sailor, saying, "Hey, trim the sail, ease the sail, turn up, turn down, shift body weight forward, switch this, pull that, ease this, trim here." He was in my ear, giving me the knowledge in the moment that I did not possess. I'm going to come over to this side. He was in my ear giving me the knowledge in the moment that I did not possess. Like, now, as we're sailing along, as I got out of range, as I got too far away from the powerboat, I started to lose signal. And because I lost signal, I couldn't hear the wisdom being poured into my ear. So because I couldn't hear the wisdom. I started using my own knowledge and my own experience to try and sail the boat. Y'all can imagine how that one went. Nosedive into the water, get thrown 15 feet like a ragdoll. And suddenly the realization of the helmet was that it was not just there to pour in the wisdom and to connect me, but it was also there to protect my head when I took an inevitable powerful blow by the boat and into the water. And in the same way, the helmet of salvation protects us spiritually from a powerful blow of doubt by the devil. Because without a helmet, we leave ourselves exposed and vulnerable in the most important part of our body. Keep in mind that our head is where we make our decisions. It's where we get our understanding from, our intellect, our processing from. That's why we call the Holy Trinity the Godhead. Because the person of God is connected with our minds, connected with our heads, to communicate into our minds, communicate into our thoughts, communicate into our spirits. Head, symbolically in the Bible, tends to mean the whole person. John Gill's exposition of the Bible references the helmet of the Savior. In other words, we put on Christ himself. We put on the whole person of Christ. Christ protects our heads and protects our whole beings from spiritual death. It's the most essential part of a person. People in Scripture, you can find in Matthew, people would place their hands on the head of a person when they were being blessed. In Genesis, we see that curses would fall on somebody's head. When Jesus crushes the head of the serpent, he renders a grave, irrevocable blow. This is why we must protect our head at all costs. It's not just a part of us. It's not just something that controls us. It is us. It is our mind that is connected with our spirit that we are protecting. Protecting by putting on salvation. Protecting by putting on Jesus. But how do we actually go about taking our helmet of salvation? How do we put salvation on our head to mark us, to focus us, and to protect us? After all, when we think about our salvation, the invitation that God gives us, this gift that God gives us, the helmet is the very first piece of armor that God bestows upon us. We can't wear the shoes of peace or use the shield of faith or swing the sword of the word effectively without having our salvation come first. So the very first piece of armor that we obtain is the helmet of salvation. But it's not the first piece of armor that we put on. After all, we can't take off and put on our salvation. Once you come to God, as you walk with him, you're not going to be saved one day and unsaved the next. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this. Just because you stumble doesn't mean you're out of the fight. I've heard so many times in ministry, I just don't feel close to God. And seemingly every time that I talk to those people, they would want me to pray again with them for their salvation because they didn't feel their salvation. Because doubt got into their head. Doubt crept into their mind, which led to their spirit, which led to their soul, and they couldn't feel their salvation. Just because you fall down doesn't mean you fall from God. Just because you fall down doesn't mean you fall from God. Come on, everybody say it. Just because I fall down doesn't mean I fall from God. David says in Psalm 37:24, though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed because the Lord supports him with his hand. Y'all, you see, when we are given our salvation, the only way we lose it is by returning it. Like, God won't divorce you, but you can divorce God. He won't disqualify you, but you can disqualify yourself by faithless rebellion, stiff-necked unbelief, as demonstrated by the way that you willfully and consistently live your life. Stumbles and trials are expected, and we count it all as joy. But salvation is a one-time thing. We don't have to keep saying the sinner's prayer over and over again until it sticks. Salvation is a protection that comes from only from the Lord. We cannot put it on. He puts salvation on us. And then we spend the rest of our lives working on sanctification. In other words, becoming more like Christ. But if we are given our salvation from the jump, we can't choose to actively put on or take off our salvation. Our salvation is always with us. Why, then, are we told by Paul to put it on? Well, when we look at this passage as a whole, we see a focus on the hope of salvation. We have confidence that God will work in us and through us and will offer us pardoning love if we follow him. So in essence, we put the hope of salvation on our heads every single day. Peter refers to this hope in his first epistle in 1 Peter 1:13. It states, "Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's interesting to note here that the word translated for ready literally means to gird up your loins. What did he just say? To gird up your loins. See, back in the day, during Peter's day, men weren't rocking skinny jeans. They were wearing long robes that went all the way to their feet. They were robe-like cloths. And much like skinny jeans, felt great until you had to go run a 10K. So what they would do in preparation, when they needed to be at the ready to fight, to run, to jump, to have movement, they would gird up their loins. They would tie up their robes in a manner that would bring the material away from their legs and give them free range of movement. They had to get rid of the obstacles that were surrounding them. You see, in the same way, we must prepare our mind for battle because there's always a battle. In other words, the devil likes to plague us with doubts about our salvation, inject worldly ideas, and have us focus more on the minute details instead of the eternity. But Paul talked about our minds a few years prior. When he writes to Rome in Romans 12:2, we see, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your," everybody say, "so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." We need to get rid of the obstacles in our minds, my friends. We do this by setting our minds on God's truth, by setting our minds on things above. By reading the scriptures, we are able to act on the scriptures. By reading the scriptures, we are able to be transformed by the scriptures. But it all starts with our minds. The helmet of salvation protects us. And in a moment, I want to give us all the opportunity to receive the helmet of salvation if you haven't for the very first time. Some authors have said that the helmet has a purpose in assuring us of salvation. It helps when we enter the battlefield of our mind, where the devil can deal powerful, sometimes lethal blows. But the devil's plan isn't anything new. He's kind of been on repeat for 2,000 years now. Like, if the devil plagues us with enough doubt about our eternal standing, of course we're going to be susceptible on the battlefield. We won't have time to spread the gospel. We won't be able to help those around us. We won't help those around us transform because we won't transform. We'll be too busy stuck in our own ruts, nursing the punches that the devil, the world, and ourselves landed on our head. Before we enter any battlefield, and every day is a spiritual battlefield, we need to ensure that we put on this helmet. We need to refresh our memory every day by staying in the scriptures, praying in all circumstances, and remember who has the ultimate victory. Satan wants to keep us trapped in the here and now. We see awful tragedies on the news. We stay stuck in a global pandemic, isolated from those that we need most. We encounter doubts. We take actions into our own hands. We stumble and we worry if we've lost our salvation. But in those times, my friends, we have to renew our trust in the Lord. And we put on the hope of salvation. We put on the fact that He is King. We put on the fact that He is in control. We put on the fact that we are loved. Somebody say, I am loved. We put on the fact that He is greater. We put on the fact that He has the victory. We put on the fact that He is God. Come on, y'all. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the great I Am. He woke you up this morning. He delivers you. He has your hand of protection over you. Come on, y'all can do better than that. This is the God of... Woo! It's all yours, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we praise you in this place. As the ministry team comes and stands up on the front row, and we all stand as we begin to close service. Don't worry, if you need prayer, they'll be wearing masks. We highly encourage that you do too. But if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what, James, I want this helmet of salvation. I've never had this helmet of salvation. I want something that's going to mark me. I want something that's going to show me that I'm a part of a family. Something that points me out. I want something that's going to focus me on the things that matter the most. I want something that's going to protect me. If that's you and you're sitting here, on the count of three, I just want you to do something bold. And I want you to raise your hand. And everybody online, you're a part of this room. So as we're all sitting here and we're saying to ourselves, you know what, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is when I want to lay my life down and encounter Jesus in a new way, in a fresh way. As with every head bowed and every eye closed, on the count of three, if you'll just raise your hand, one, He loves you. Two, He's proud of you. Three, if you'll raise your hand, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. Hands lifted all over this room. Hallelujah. If you're online, I see you. Hallelujah. Jesus. To God be the glory. You can put your hands down as heads and hearts are lifted up. In this church, we don't pray alone. So everybody in this room, and everybody online, I want you to pray with this with me and pray with our new brothers and sisters that are raising their hands today. God, I love you. I thank you for sending your Son for me. I pray that you would come into my life. That you would change me. That you would transform me. That you would make me new. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do with my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Y'all. You hear that? The angels are partying in heaven, y'all. I say we party too. Come on.
Thank you. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, James. Let's just say this as we get ready to close. A couple of things. When you meet Jesus, your life will change, and you take on a helmet, gives you a new sense of identity. That's what a helmet does. When you experience salvation, you get like a brand new identity. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the Lord. And you release all of his resources into your life. That's what we're singing about right now. It's a powerful and amazing thing, isn't it? Yeah, and everything does change. Hallelujah. It's amazing. So those of you that raised your hands today, we want to help you. So we need to do two things. We'd like to do two things. Just before you leave, you just come up here, just real quick, like connect with one of these faces that you like, and they'll talk to you just for a moment. Pick anyone that you, looks kind of friendly, and from what you can see of it anyway. And anyway, do that. And the second thing of it is we'd love to connect with you if we haven't already. This will help us to know, because we're about to offer a very special experience for those of you that are brand new in the faith that really help you understand and get started well. And we want to connect you with that. So we need you to text the word new life to the number on the screen. That'll help you get connected, or you can get connected up here. Either way is good, or both is even better. So we're going to pray right now, and then I'm going to formally dismiss us as we've been doing now for almost a year. So let's just pray. But if you're here today and you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand, and you simply say, today I need to experience new life in Christ. That's what we're talking about, the helmet of salvation. And just come on up here. Take a couple of moments before you go and off into the rest of your day. Father, we thank you for your awesome goodness. Thank you for your great kindness. Thank you that you give us the gift of salvation. You place it upon us when we ask for it. And Lord, many are receiving that gift today. It's a wonderful thing. And help us just to go forward, we pray. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can, amen. Glory to God. Just so you know, we will be going to double services on Easter. Two services on Easter Sunday morning. Okay? That's the plan. So stay tuned. We'll tell you more. But anyway, just before you go, if you need prayer for any reason, you can come up here. They'll pray with you. But if you've made a commitment to Christ, then come forward. But those of you that are 65 and above, or, you know, you've got an immunity issue, immune system that's compromised, somebody, God bless you. You guys get to go first. We've been dismissing you first for a year now. You guys can go. God bless you as you go. Hallelujah. Always pick up your kids, remember? Okay, those of you in these two center sections, you guys can slip out. But those of you that have raised your hand, just slip up here real quick, like, and just talk for a moment. Those of you in these two center sections, God bless you.